We've often heard it said, and it should be said, that Srila Prabhupada gave us everything. What does that mean? Well, the material world, material existence, is one big zero, nothing. Not in the sense that the Shunyavadis, the voidists, or certain class of Buddhists say, the material world is real in one sense, but there's nothing there to satisfy our soul. There's no Krishna. There's something there, but it's like a dream. We can't say a dream is unreal. A dream is real, but what does it consist of? Nothing substantial. So Srila Prabhupada gave us everything, and for those of us in the West especially, we have no idea. And practically speaking, most Indians today also really very, very little idea of Krishna or the goal of life. And well, that's been true even. It wasn't that it wasn't true 100 years ago or 200 years ago. It's even in India, the culture is good and the general sense of Krishna consciousness is there. But Srila Prabhupada gave us Krishna consciousness, according to the parampara system, sambandha abhideya prayojana, sadhya sadhana tattva. What is the goal of life and how to attain it? When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met Ramananda Rai, that was the first thing he asked about. What is the goal of life and how to attain it? Taking the position of someone who needs to learn, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started off asking about sadhya sadhana tattva. What is the goal of life and how to attain it? He himself had given the answer long before this when he met Tapan Mishra in East Bengal and told him, sadhya sadhana tattva jekichu shokal harinama shankirtane milibe shokal. All the principles, the details, everything about the understanding of the goal of life and how to attain it, it all comes together in Harinam Sankirtan. Srila Prabhupada gave us the holy name. He gave us, Sambandha Abhideya Prayojan. Krishna is everything. He gave us Krishna. Everything minus Krishna is one big zero in the sense it all amounts to nothing. So he gave us Krishna, he gave us the process to attain Krishna. Sambandha Abhida, knowledge of Sambandha, what is our relationship with Krishna? Who are we? What are we doing in this mess of a world? And where are we supposed to be? Abhideya, what we're supposed to be doing, leading to Prayojana, the ultimate goal of life, pure love of Krishna, Krishna Prem. Going back home, back to Godhead in the spiritual world. And the process, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, especially these two, Shravanam, Kirtanam, hearing about and chanting Krishna, about Krishna, and Smaranam, that will come by Kirtan, Smaran will come. Smarano haibe. Kirtan prabhave, smarano haibe. Shekale nirjan sambhav. By the power of kirtan, or by the mercy of kirtan, remembrance of Krishna will come automatically. And at that time, worshipping Krishna exclusively becomes possible. So Srila Prabhupada gave all these things. Krishna nam, everything is there. Chant Hare Krishna. Everything is there and Krishna is his holy name. But Srila Prabhupada worked so hard to give us his books. He spoke pretty much daily, at least once a day formally on the Bhagavatam and other shastras. He spoke informally also. Practically he was always speaking shastra throughout 24 hours. to give us the understanding by which we could be fixed on the path of Krishna consciousness, the path that actually leads back to Godhead. Among the gifts that Srila Prabhupada gave, a major gift, which is not technically within the realm of devotional service, of pure devotional service, is Varnashram Dharma, the social system which helps us to practice Krishna consciousness. Now, Krishna consciousness is beyond Varnashram Dharma for those who practice it completely, purely, but for those who don't, we need to live in this world somehow or other, some way or other. We need some social system to interact with each other. And Varnashram Dharma is the system given by Krishna. And although over-attachment to Varnashram Dharma is an obstacle on the path of pure devotional service, but neglecting the rules of Varnashram Dharma can also be an obstacle, especially if we think that, well, I don't need all these things, I'm too advanced. Because actually many of the rules within Varnashram Dharma, they overlap with those of with what is required for devotional service. For instance, rising early, bathing regularly, taking foods for those who are on the spiritual path, one should take sattvic foods, how to respect elders. So many things are there which help us. There's so much to be said about Varnashram Dharma, living in the demoniac civilization, which we take as normal, but it's even so many non-devotees realize this, it's abnormal. There's something seriously wrong. So Srila Prabhupada gave this gift of Varnashram Dharma. We didn't yet take it. We haven't established it. He gave us the idea what to do. We haven't taken that up very seriously. But if we can take that up, that will help us tremendously, individually, in our spiritual lives, and as a society. One reason Srila Prabhupada emphasized Varnashram Dharma so much in the last few years he was present among us, not that he hadn't emphasized it previously. One of the reasons he so much emphasized it, because he saw his disciples were falling down. They weren't able to follow even the basic principles, chanting 16 rounds, following four regulated principles. Many fell away. What to speak of going up to the very highest levels, they couldn't even maintain the basics. So Srila Prabhupada, he saw Varnashram Dharma establishing this as a great help to seeing everyone properly situated, materially, in a situation so that they can steadily make advancement in devotional service. Now, this is a very, very big topic which I've elaborated on many times. I wanted to emphasize that because often when I'm going to talk now a little bit about chanting the holy names, and the holy name is all in all, the holy name gives us everything, but sometimes there's a misunderstanding that because the holy name is the essence of everything, that we don't need Varnashram Dharma, and we don't even need rules of devotional service. Well, in one sense, that's true. If one is on the highest platform of chanting, then you don't need to follow so many different rules. But that's very rare. The rules help us to make advancement. So this chanting, it's the essence of everything we're doing. Actually, the essence of everything we're doing is to fully give ourselves to Krishna. Actually. The gopis, we don't find any record of them chanting their... How many rounds did the gopis chant? Zero. They must be in Maya, not the kind of Maya that we're in. They are in the perfectional stage. But for us, chanting is the essence because that is the required means to bring us to the perfectional stage. It's the most important thing we do every day. If we ask the average person, the non-devotee, what's the most important thing they do every day, they go to work. That takes up most of their time. Some of them, they may say, well, having sex. Having sex every day, most important thing. Most important thing in my life. But for us in Krishna consciousness, the most important thing we do every day is to chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In kirtan and in japa, there can be a tendency to just try and somehow or other finish our japa because we have so many things to do. And it's true that we shouldn't just space out. Let our mind wander in space as we're chanting. But at the same time, we should know that if we chant with attention, and that in itself may take quite some practice, then Krishna will dance on our tongue. The purification, Krishna dancing on our tongue, that Rupa Goswami was experiencing that. And Srila Prabhupada was experiencing that. And he said that we would experience that. But first, to receive the reciprocation with Krishna, that he is present in his holy name. He is his holy name. This is so powerful. We often think of different methods of preaching, how we can change, what we can do to convince others. But whatever philosophy we have, and we really have the philosophy, it really is the teaching that everyone needs. Srila Prabhupada gave us. But unless we do Harinam, Kali Yuga won't be pushed back. We require to do so much Harinam on the cities, in the villages, so much Harinam Sankirtan. It becomes more difficult in this pandemic situation which has come about. Typical of Kali Yuga, some demoniac reactions to demoniac activities are going on. But by performing Harinam, that will push back the Kali, the evil, the pollution of Kali that comes in our minds, and that will push out the pollution in the world. Mental pollution, addiction to materialistic activities. A god brother of mine just sent me a short video of people in London, United Kingdom, still united for the time being, in May of this year. They said it was 1 million people, but in a protest rally against restrictions due to the COVID pandemic. Well, you couldn't tell. If you had an aerial shot, you might be able to make a guess that it was 1 million people. 1 million people is a lot of people. But anyway, they said it was 1 million people, and they were all marching against vaccination and marching against restrictions, lockdown, and chanting freedom, freedom, freedom. And I thought, well, if Prabhupada's mercy hadn't come on me, I might have been some kind of average middle class person. I guess they're mostly middle class, somewhat educated people. They're mostly I might have been out there joining them. just they want freedom so they can go on with their useless lives of mediocre sense gratification. They are discontent, thinking that if the lockdown is over, then everything will be nice. What? What will it be nice? It's just another phase of foolishness. Those who are locking down and those who are locked down, it's all a phase of foolishness. Lockdown, yeah, the pandemic is there, so we're told. And there are those who say it's all a scam, so government scam, so we can control, the governments can control. Oh, I said we. Oh, you caught me. Oh, inadvertently. So, anyway, if you want to think I'm part of the scam, you can. But this whole material, this whole material existence is we're just one big scam. Everyone is cheating everyone else into thinking. If we are locked down, then it'll be better for the in the future, and then we can enjoy sense gratification without fear of coronavirus. No, we want freedom now. There's no coronavirus. We want freedom for sense gratification now. They're all in, it's all the different phases of the same Maya. They're opposed to each other on the basis of how we can better live happily in this world, which is all nonsense anyway. So Harinam Sankirtan. I didn't see that there was any Harinam Sankirtan party at that protest. It would have been a good opportunity to, if devotees were there chanting the holy names in Kirtan, it would have been a good opportunity to ventilate the holy name to many people. Although Srila Prabhupada, what was that? Sasrup Maharaj wrote about that, something about not joining a peace march or something like this. This is 1960s protest against the Vietnam War. And Srila Prabhupada had said, oh, we don't take part in peace marches. We can go anywhere or any political rallies. We can go anywhere and chant the holy names, but we don't particularly want to be identified with any political group. Our message far transcends that of make love, not war, or freedom, freedom. Based on it. Our message is that all ideas conceived of is in this world for happiness are all based on a terrible mistake of identifying with this body and not knowing our actual position in relationship with Krishna. That's a lot for most people to even begin to understand. So this chanting, public chanting, that will give the purification by which people can begin to understand this and by which they may take up an interest in this. So this chanting pushes back Kali Yuga. Distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. Srila Prabhupada put so much emphasis on this. Distribute these books. This will change. This will make a change in the world. And we may think, well, we'll do some yoga classes and get people to chant Hare Krishna at the end, or we'll do some personality development programs and maybe try and introduce a little something vaguely related to Krishna consciousness at the end. Practically, it's a waste of time, really. When we have the holy name we can chant, and we can distribute Srila Prabhupada's books, and we're going to waste our time going for a course over weeks and weeks and weeks doing yoga just to try to get people to chant Hare Krishna without giving them a full dose of philosophy. Well, if you can do it, all well and good. We're not complaining. But if you're an independent householder and you're making your living by teaching yoga, and you introduce Krishna consciousness, all well and good. But as a society, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is meant for promoting Harinam, the philosophy in Srila Prabhupada's books, distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, demonstrating a God-centered way of life, Varnashram Dharma, on farms. These are the core activities of this movement, which you might not think if someone was to come to a Krishna conscious temple these days. So we have to push back on Kali Yuga by chanting the holy names individually and congregationally in public. But we have to keep Kali Yuga out of the kirtan. Remember that Parikshit Maharaj, he banished Kali, the personality of Kali, from his kingdom. As long as Parikshit Maharaj was there, he was, actually it's stated in Bhagavatam that the moment that Krishna left this world, Kali entered. But then Parikshit came and he drove Kali back. But then Kali made an arrangement by a very devious means, which Kali is all about. Kali made an arrangement that Parikshit Maharaj, who was holding by his power and his commitment to Krishna consciousness, his commitment to Dharma, he was holding back Kali Yuga. So Kali made an arrangement so that Parikshit could be removed. So in the same way, Kali can enter the kirtan. Well, wait a minute, kirtan's completely pure, isn't it? Kirtan is completely pure, but the people who are chanting are not necessarily completely pure, in which case the kirtan, that doesn't have the same effect. If we're chanting for entertainment, even for promoting our own prestige, showing I'm a great kirtan leader. Even the motive that we chant in public, when we're chanting in public, we should think, we want to share the holy names with others. But often I see it's something like just waving, and we become like a tourist attraction. People think we're something quaint and amusing and kind of nice, and we may go along with that we're just some kind of nice but eccentric people, and that's all. And it's all, you just smile at people, and yeah, well, okay, we can smile at people on high nam, no harm, but it's, we're not there to entertain them. You're not there just so they can take photos and come and do selfies with us. We're there to communicate the holy, the importance of Krishna consciousness. That's why Srila Prabhupada, when the first Harinam communities were organized in the West in a systematic way, that was organized by Tamal Krishna Das, that was before he took sannyas, in Los Angeles in, I believe, 1968 or 9, and then along with that, distributing Back to Godhead magazines. And people could understand what they take the magazine and they get some understanding what these people are chanting for, what this movement is all about. And that was very effective in attracting people to join this movement. So we have to keep Kali Yuga, the influence of Kali, out of the kirtan, keep it pure. Not that we can be completely pure, but we should know that we're doing this for the pleasure of Krishna, to communicate. Not that we're qualified, but we are deputed to do so by Srila Prabhupada, all the acharyas up to Lord Chaitanya. We're deputed to communicate the gift of Krishna consciousness to others. So that purity should be there. Kirtan should cleanse the heart. That should be the effect. Chaito darpanam marjanam. The first effect of actual kirtan is that the heart becomes clean. You know, clean of what? When there are so many dirty things in the heart. Kam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsarya. These are the basic six contaminations. There are so many contaminations. the basic six contaminations which are always mentioned, the Shardaripu, the six enemies, they are material desire, anger, greed, illusion, pride, and envy. Material desire is the most prominent manifestation, but that's the first one mentioned, but it's all based on envy of Krishna. And Kali Yuga means increased envy and increased lust, anger, greed, and the envy, especially this consumeristic society is based on I want more, I want more, I want more than the other. Why has he got so much? My rights, human rights, freedom, human rights. I want my rights. Everyone should have their rights. Me, 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 me. No, not thinking of how we can cooperate together in society. And communism, although the philosophy might seem to be very good, but actually that's based on envy also, because it's right there in the Communist Manifesto, the idea that communism is right and everything else is wrong, capitalism particularly is wrong, so we have to destroy non-communism. So it's always the enemy is seen, the envy is the very philosophy. It promotes envy. What is this envy? That when someone starts to flourish, we become envious. If they're less than us and they start to flourish, we want to push them down. If they're greater than us and more powerful, we become more envious, and we may make some schemes, like in communism. We are the workers, they are the capitalists, pull them down. You're always envious of people who have more than us and try to find faults with them. Or if we're in a position where we can lord it over others, then we use that to in Kali Yuga especially, to cause suffering to others. Or if someone else flourishes, then you want to take it cynically, you become their friend to take advantage of them. That's often seen. Someone who's very rich, oh, they'll have so many friends. And if he loses all his money, he'll lose all his friends, because they're just taking advantage of his prestige, of his money. There's no real friendship in material existence. How I can get something from others. As soon as someone starts to flourish, then immediately so many problems come. That's why sadhus, they live akinchana, with nothing. They don't have anything for anyone to steal or to be envious of. That means that people will, in many cases, they will scorn them. But they don't care for that. They're not scorning others. People may scorn them, but they don't care. Let them scorn me. And then there's nothing to look after. It's just anxiety. The more things you have, so much anxiety. Of course, for spreading Krishna consciousness, there are so many material things that we use. And it's a headache. And organization and people, and it's a headache. There's no doubt about it. We take that for Krishna, for Krishna's service. But personally, we should feel no personal attachment to anything. And we should be happy if others flourish. Otherwise, that's the law of the material world. As soon as something starts to flourish, others, they take advantage. Just like here in India, now it's the rainy season, monsoon season. As soon as the rain falls, the foliage starts to increase, more plants pop up, and then the bugs increase, taking advantage. There's an opportunity, now the bugs population can increase because there's something for them to eat, to take advantage of. And then the frog population increases, or at least we see so many frogs come because there are bugs to eat. Frogs are eating bugs. And then the snakes come out to eat the frogs. This is what they call the food chain, right? And then the snakes come out, and then the humans may kill the snakes also. Just the other day, I was walking at night with my torch. It's a good idea when you're going in the dark, in an area where poisonous snakes may be expected. It's a good thing I had the torch, otherwise I would have trodden right on this little snake. It was small but very, very dangerous. So the devotee was with me, got a big rock, and these are very slow-moving snakes. We looked it up. Saw-scaled viper. Killed it. Oh, killed it. Ah, that doesn't sound right. But Modeta Sadurapi Rishchika Sarapahatya. Even a saintly person becomes pleased, this is right from Bhagavatam, when a scorpion or a dangerous snake is killed. He asked me first, should I kill it? I say, yeah, because otherwise, you know, snake, it says in Shastra, and may kill you. And I almost trod on it. But anyway, I'm talking about how one living being, Jivo Jivasya Jivanam, Srila Prabhupada used to quote, that one living being is food for another. And that's the whole way the material world is set up. That living beings, they take advantage of others' weakness to exploit them. They need to live by inflicting suffering on others, by killing them, by eating them. The cat, when it's torturing the mouse, maybe the cat has some sense that I'm torturing the mouse and takes pleasure in that, seems to do that. If you've ever seen a cat playing with a mouse, it seems that the cat is taking pleasure in the mouse's fear and helplessness. Seems like that. The cats have certain kind of eyes, the same kind of eyes you'll see in crocodiles and snakes. They're that envious, looks quite envious. But that's the way the material world is set up, that violence is inherent in it. And some living beings, that's a low birth, but they live on violence, on inflicting pain to others, the carnivorous animals, non-scavenger carnivorous animals. They have to kill. Or maybe not kill. They may not kill. They may just like it. There may be a big fish, and little fish just go and take a little bit out of the big fish's body. They bite it out. The mosquito, they don't bite to live exactly, but they take a little blood out. What about if you see, sometimes it's quite common you'll see living beings which are too weak to move. They're almost dead, but they're not quite dead. It's very common you see beetles and bugs, and sometimes you see birds like that. They're just lying down. The bug is upside down, with his legs flailing, and even if you put him the right way up, he'll again go upside down. He's almost dead. It's a sign he's almost dead. Frogs, just sitting there, they can't move. And snakes, they come to a point, they're so old, And then the ants come. The ants discover them. And they start to eat them alive. I've seen bugs, frogs, birds like this. And there are stories. There's stories of bad karma that you can become a snake and be eaten alive by ants. That's the material world. It's very nasty. It's very, very nasty. An example, when the rain falls, relief. The heat died down. What a relief. But that means a cycle of life begins and a cycle of envy begins, because life in this material world means envy. And it's just in the ants don't think we're giving pain. They can't think. They're just in that body where that's just what they do. They're impelled by the mentality that they have due to their karmic reaction. Because they had such a mentality in human life, they have to take such bodies where they inflict pain and pain is inflicted on them. There is another rain, another kind of rain. Saṃsāra dāvā nāla lūdha lōkā trāṇāya kāraṇya ghana ghanatvam prāptasya kalyāna gunārnavasya vandī guru śrī charanāravinda. First thing that we sing every day, that we worship the lotus feet of the guru who is receiving mercy from the ocean of mercy, who's like a rain cloud of he's taken the mercy from the ocean of mercy, which is Krishna. It's all very, very poetic analogy. Krishna is the ocean of mercy. The guru takes that mercy and rains it down on the world. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is a rain of mercy, which comes in the holy name, which Srila Prabhupada poured that mercy on us. And with that rain of mercy, bhakti flourishes. There's also acid rain, which kills or very much inhibits the plant growth. So if we take it, it's an acid, it's like an acid rain, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's rain. When the rain comes, then it destroys the material desires. Actually, the example given in Chaitanya Charitamrita is that the rain of mercy, which comes with Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement, it creates a flood which washes away even the seeds. So the seeds of material desire are washed away in the strong flood of mercy. And we see in Mayapur, the Ganga, she's always flowing so strongly, and in the rainy season flows even more strongly. So that example is given also. Kunti Devi says, Twai menanya vishaya matir madhupase sakrit ratir udvanya... Matir madhupate sakrit ratim udvadhata adha gange vaugam udanviti. She said, just like the Ganga flows so strongly. It must have made quite an impression in her mind when she went to the Ganga for the first time and saw how swiftly it's flowing, and knowing this is flowing all the way to the sea so strongly. Ganga flows very fast flowing river. So the Ganga flows so strongly. So just like that, she's praying, may my mind flow to your lotus feet, Krishna, without being diverted anywhere else. So like this, the flood of Lord Chaitanya's mercy, it washes away. If we are actually performing kirtan with the motive only to please Krishna, then this kind of kirtan, it washes away all the bad things in our heart, and it makes an effect in the world. I was just reading an interview. This is from about, this is from the 1960s. And one journalist referred to the, he was talking to Srila Prabhupada and was saying that this Hare Krishna movement, which is, what's exactly the word? Just came to my mind now, but I just can't remember the word. It's just like, not the word flooding, but some like huge effect. It's swamping them, swamping America. And he was saying it with respect, saying that, what? And there are only a few hundred devotees, maybe hardly a few thousand. Srila Prabhupada, we have a record of almost 5,000 disciples initiated by him all over the world from 1966 to 1977. And this journalist was talking about the Hare Krishna movement, how it's making such tremendous effect in America. Because the devotees, they became powerful. They were young kids at the time. But they went out with such faith in the holy names and faith in the mercy of Prabhupada and faith in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. Even though they didn't know very much as we know nowadays from studying Shastra, they went out with great faith and that had a tremendous effect. And people left their jobs, they left their homes, they left their university studies to come and join this Sankirtan movement. It has such a powerful effect, a very transformative, not on the mental platform, you could say on the material platform, because people transform their whole way of life, their whole way of dress, their whole way of food, their whole food style and everything, but transform the whole aim of life, the whole outlook on life, the whole life. So we really want to do that everywhere. This Sankirtan movement is what is really meant for the world. Srila Prabhupada gave this, coming as the representative of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Prabhupada gave us, he listened to Srila Prabhupada's chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I'm just imitating, you've all heard it, the style of kirtan that Srila Prabhupada first gave to the devotees. Very simple. There's no modulation of voice, the most simple tune, but there was tremendous power. That power of Srila Prabhupada's being with Krishna and sharing Krishna with the holy name, that communicated to others. And Srila Prabhupada's intense Krishna consciousness and his intense desire to purify the world, that power of the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that was communicated to the, who they were hippies, and then they took up Krishna consciousness seriously, and they went out in the world, and new devotees with no background of Vedic culture, practically zero Shastric knowledge, but they were able to make such a big impression in the minds of others. They went dressed in Indian-style clothes, which was something very unusual in the Western world at the time. And very unusual, it was unknown, unheard of. Maybe there are a few women in saris, not many, a few here and there, but for Western young girls to dress in saris, and what is this orange cloth the men are wearing? It was something very, very unusual. But devotees went out with full confidence. Prabhupada wants us to do this. Prabhupada is a pure devotee of Krishna. We have to do this. They went out with that faith, and that faith can move mountains, we've heard from the Bible. Well, the mountain of our material attachments, which is much bigger than all the mountains on this planet put together, that can be just shattered to dust by the power of pure chanting of the holy name, chanting with faith. And pure means full pure stage means we're seeing Krishna directly face to face, but pure at least at this stage with deep faith, not doing it for any personal or even subtle motive, only doing let the Sankirtan Yajna spread throughout the world. Srila Prabhupada writes in one purport that Sankirtan Yajnas, the Krishna conscious movement, should perform one after another all over the world, Sankirtan. So these are the great gifts that Prabhupada gave us, the holy names, knowledge of Krishna. He worked so hard writing these books, gave us the opportunity to distribute these books, to share this knowledge with others, gave us this process of spiritual life. Varnashram, that's also something we have to institute this because the great mercy of the holy name comes. But we are neglectful. We have the tendency to be neglectful. Therefore, to situate us well so that we can go on throughout our life chanting without being distracted by so many nonsense things. Therefore, we need Varnashram society so we can live simply, simple living and high thinking. So many gifts Prabhupada gave us. We still are to take full advantage of them, especially this Varnashram. It's long overdue. Srila Prabhupada very much wanted that. We have to do it to get Prabhupada's mercy, because that's a major part of what he wanted us to do. And if we don't do that, then what's happening, and it's become almost like a syndrome, is that we preach, we bring people in, and then they don't stay or they don't really come up because they're not able to remain strong. The lures of material existence are so strong, or they have to go and work in some miserable job in which they have to associate with non-devotees, and it becomes very difficult for them to make advancement. So Varnashram communities means we're living all together, devotees, chanting together, doing our work together. Our work is what? Someone's a weaver, someone's a farmer, someone's an administrator, someone's a teacher, wives, housewives. There's so many things to do, but they're all living in a community and all come together daily for chanting Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada's gifts, unlimited. One name of Krishna is unlimited mercies. He brought the rain of mercy. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's rain of mercy. Let us collect that. Here in South India, in Tamil Nadu, the government has mandated rainwater harvesting because there's lack of rainfall. So rainwater harvesting. So chanting Hare Krishna, the rain of mercy comes down, but we need a way of life in which we can collect that mercy and take proper advantage of it. So many things to say about this. Let us seriously consider what is Srila Prabhupada's desire, because by fulfilling that, everything will come. Everything will be perfect. By not fulfilling that, nagati katopi. By his mercy, yasya prasada, bhagavat prasada. If we can satisfy Srila Prabhupada, then Krishna is satisfied. And yasmin tushte jagat tushtam. If Krishna is satisfied, then the whole world can be satisfied. But yasya aprasada, by not satisfying him, nagati katopi, we're not going anywhere. So let us bear this in mind and keep faith in the process that Prabhupada gave us. We don't need to invent so many things. There may be some adjustment due to time, place, and circumstance, but basically the program is very simple. Following our sadhana, chanting the holy names, distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, having feast programs, prasadam, inviting people, introducing them to this philosophy, and then making communities, varnashram communities. The process is very simple. Srila Prabhupada has gave us everything. Let us bow down to his lotus feet, follow his instructions, and follow him on the path back to Godhead, and bring as many people as we can with us by his grace. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dante nitaya chunakang padaya nipatya kritva chakaku shatameta raham bravimi. He sadhava sakala eva vihaya durat gauranga chandra charne kurutanu ragaha. Parivada tu jano yata tata va nanu mokaro navayang vicharayamaha. Hari rasa madira madati matta bhuvi vilutama natama nirvishama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.